Hello, welcome to Frequencies Podcast, Episode 6. My name is Michael J. Johnson. This is our special Halloween episode. As I said in the last episode, I'm a pretty big fan of Halloween, and just want to talk a little bit about one of my favorite Halloween pastimes, and that is scary movies. I love to watch scary movies when it gets to be close to Halloween. Before we do that, though, just want to talk about a couple things I'm geeking out about right now. Number one is The Flash. There's been some great episodes this season so far with a lot of Easter eggs for those of us who were comic book fans. As many of you know, if you asked the question, are you a Marvel or a DC? I'm more of a Marvel, but I've always kind of had a soft spot in my heart for The Flash. I don't know, The Flash just always seemed a little bit different to me than some of the other DC characters. Now, my Flash is Barry Allen. I know that a lot of younger people didn't grow up with Barry Allen like I did, because by the time you started reading comics, you had another Flash. But yeah, my Flash is Barry Allen. So I've really loved this series so far. And there were especially a couple of really cool things. A couple episodes ago, they introduced Jay Garrick, who is the Earth 2 Flash. There were a lot of great little Easter eggs in that one, including sort of a recreation of the classic Flash of Two Worlds cover back from the Silver Age. So it was pretty cool. And so they introduced that idea of parallel Earths. So far, Flash has hit all of the things that I really liked about the comic, and that's time travel and the idea of parallel worlds. I can't believe that in the beginning of season two, we've already seen quite a bit of that. And in fact, I think next episode, we're probably going to see some more parallel world stuff. They've also introduced Zoom, although we haven't seen him yet, but he's another one of Flash's archenemies. I'm still watching Arrow. I think Arrow could be good. I'm getting sick of all the flashbacks, no pun intended. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I think, has started out pretty well. I think they're bringing more superpowered beings in, and that's kind of cool. The fact that they have Lash, who's one of the new Inhuman characters that just got introduced this past year in the comics, I think it's pretty cool. So the TV show, and there's a couple new shows that have started that I've been following. Blindspot, I'm liking that one so far. Quantico and Limitless, and all three of those are brand new shows, and so far I'm kind of liking what's going on with them. And just saw the pilot of Supergirl the other day. I thought it was really good. Really liked it a lot. So I'm interested to see how they're going to continue with that. So basically, those are the primary things I've been geeking out about lately. On to Halloween. So my obsession with horror fiction began when I was a kid, actually before I even got into comic books. I was really into the classic horror films, you know, Dracula and your Frankenstein and the Wolfman. And then, of course, all the Japanese monsters, you know, Godzilla and all of those. Of course, I loved those as a kid. And I remember reading this magazine called Famous Monsters of Filmland. The print version I don't think exists anymore, although I recently found that they still are doing an online version of it. And I remember that Famous Monsters had this kind of Stan Lee type of guy who was the editor, who was sort of a character and a celebrity in his own right. His name was Forrest Ackerman. So I remember reading those magazines when I was a kid, watching some of those movies, and then I tried to find books, horror fiction, and stuff like that. So I always kind of liked that stuff. In addition to the science fiction, I was always obsessed with science fiction. And then, of course, when I started reading comics, there were some comics that had horror elements, although I didn't quite get into those as much. I never really got into the, even though Marvel did a Tomb of Dracula comic for many years, for some reason, it didn't really catch my interest all that well. I was more into the superheroes at that point. But there were still a few supernatural characters that would show up in some of the comics, like Werewolf by Night and the Man-Wolf and Morbius, the living vampire. And, you know, those guys often showed up in Spider-Man, which was kind of my favorite comic anyway. You know, later on, when I got a little older, then I got into more mature horror movies. probably one of my biggest Halloween memories is actually a few years after the original John Carpenter Halloween movie came out. I watched that on HBO with some friends on a Halloween night. I was in high school. I don't remember exactly what year. And as I said, it was a few years after the original came out, because when the original came out, I was probably too young to see it in the theaters. Yeah, so I remember seeing that for the first time. I've always kind of thought of that when I think about Halloween, that first Halloween movie, which I think really sort of started this whole slasher movie thing. But that movie, in my opinion, is much better than most of the slasher movies that ever came after it. It was just right. There was a lot of suspense to it. It wasn't a whole lot of blood. There was just enough there to scare you. All the stuff that came out after that movie started taking a lot of the elements from that, and I think sort of taking it a little too far in a lot of ways. So now you have what some people call torture porn type of horror, like the Saw movies and stuff like that. And that just, to me, that's a little too far. Even the Rob Zombie version of Halloween, I think, was too much. So the original Halloween, and then I remember being captivated by some of the other things that came kind of late 70s, early 80s. Of course, I remember I loved The Shining. Now, apparently, Stephen King is not a fan because Kubrick deviated way too much from the book. But I think as a pure spooky movie, I think The Shining works pretty well. So The Shining, another one would be the remake of The Thing that John Carpenter did. Thought that was great. Along in that sci-fi horror vein, of course, the first Alien movie was just great. Now, you know, what I found with both of those, because the special effects are a little bit dated, unfortunately, neither of those movies hold up as well. I remember they re-released the original Alien movie in the theaters probably about 10 years ago, mostly younger people than me in the audience. And when the alien first popped out of John Hurt's chest, you could definitely tell it was a puppet, and actually some people in the theater laughed. But I remember when I saw it originally, I was just blown away. Now, that was another one that I was too young to see in the theaters. I think I saw it on HBO a few years later, but still creeped me out. Now, you know, about that time, I discovered the original Night of the Living Dead, which I found pretty scary at the time, even though it was in black and white. The zombie thing caught my imagination as well. So for me, you know, that was sort of a classic time. Even the very first Friday the 13th movie, I thought was pretty well done and pretty chilling. As the franchise went on, it got more and more ridiculous, of course. But the first movie, you know, especially when you don't even really see Jason until close to the end of the movie, it was well done and kind of creepy. And you know, I don't really remember being all that thrilled by anything that happened after that kind of early 80s time for a while. If you look at most of the 80s after that, really, I think the main problem was that special effects were not quite there yet. They were trying to do more ambitious things, but they didn't really have the effects to pull them off well. And so I think a lot of times it just sort of fell flat. And the other thing for me was getting into my college years, I didn't really have the money to go to movies a whole lot. So I probably missed a lot of things. And I think there were some things that probably happened in that time period that were pretty good. But for me, the next thing really was in the 90s, kind of when the vampire craze hit. I remember seeing Bram Stoker's Dracula with Gary Oldman, which I loved at the time. I watch it now and I can see all the problems with it. For instance, Keanu Reeves and his fake British accent. But then also Interview with the Vampire came out, and then I decided to start reading all the Anne Rice Vampire Chronicles, and then I discovered Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I had seen the original movie, and a lot of people don't like that original movie. I actually thought it was funny. I liked Paul Reubens in it. Luke Perry didn't really bother me that much. When the Buffy series originally came out, like that first season, I didn't really watch it because at the time I thought, oh great, someone trying to capitalize on a movie that didn't do that well. But I kept hearing a lot of buzz about it, so I started watching it around season two. I mean, I don't even know if I really realized how groundbreaking what I was seeing was, but I just fell in love with that show. Now, the other TV show that had a lot of horror elements in it that I was a huge fan of of before that was The X-Files. The X-Files pretty much permeates the 90s for me. You know, I did watch Twin Peaks a little bit, but I didn't get into it as much as I did later on when I started watching it in reruns. But The X-Files was really the thing for me. I followed The X-Files all the way to the end, even when it got bad, even when Duchovny left. The X-Files was my thing. And then that's where I really started getting interested in the showrunner auteur type. And so Chris Carter, he did also Millennium, which was another show, and I loved that. He did one spinoff and then just another series that I really liked but didn't go anywhere, and that was Harsh Realm. And then the other spinoff from X-Files was The Lone Gunman. But anyway, I sort of got interested in the same way in Joss Whedon from Buffy. I did watch Firefly on TV when it first came out. I followed Angel from the beginning all the way to the end. But it was really sort of my love for horror and the fact that I was kind of into the vampire thing that hooked me at first. And I didn't even realize that what I was watching was really kind of subverting a lot of the typical horror elements. First of all, with rather than having the main victim be the female, she was the main protagonist. She was the one that was actually going after all the monsters. So getting back to movies then, really the next sort of thing that caught my interest, and I actually was just rewatching it the other day, was 28 Days Later. And I felt like this was, the zombie genre could only go so far when you've got the shambling zombies. Now, I think The Walking Dead has taken it in a different direction because The Walking Dead focuses on the humans, and you find really that some of the worst monsters are the humans. But 28 Days Later was great because it featured a much more plausible type of zombie, and not really a zombie. It was almost like a rabid human being, and they were fast moving, not slow and shambling, and genuinely scary because you couldn't get, you know, it was harder to get away from them. But even that movie at some point really kind of was the template for, I think, what things like The Walking Dead are doing, because there was a significant part of that movie where the most monstrous people are the military officers who at first offer them shelter and then turn out to be evil. So anyway, I think that 28 Days Later kind of revived the zombie genre. A couple other things. I've been rambling around a little bit. A couple other things I want to circle back to. Of course, I didn't mention that even though slasher movies went way downhill, I think the Scream franchise kind of brought them back to a little bit more respectability, and partly because it was so self-referential and so meta, that one was a good shot in the arm to that genre. Then I also should mention that I didn't really discover Sam Raimi's original Evil Dead until later. I didn't see it in the theaters back in the 80s. I have to say, between that and Evil Dead 2, which was, you know, the original Evil Dead that he did was his indie film done on a shoestring budget. And to me, it's scarier. You know, the Evil Dead 2 was just a remake of that with a much bigger budget. And it was a lot more slapstick, more humor to it and stuff. But I still sort of prefer the original low budget version of Evil Dead. Still will kind of watch that one now because I think it's a little creepier. And a couple newer films that I think did a lot for the genre, Edgar Wright and Simon Pegg's Shaun of the Dead, I think gave a lot more depth to the zombie genre just because it was a comedy, but it really still used the elements very well. And then also, of course, because I'm such a Joss Whedon fan, I think Cabin in the Woods was really, I really love that movie because it took all of those kind of typical horror film tropes and messed with them and made another sort of meta world that turned a lot of those things around. And if you haven't seen Cabin in the Woods and you're a horror fan, you really should check it out because I think it's interesting. Of course, it does have Joss Whedon's trademark wit. I just think it's a really smart film, and I like the way it kind of plays with all of those different tropes. So let me just kind of finish up. This is my top 10 horror movies. They're not exactly in order of best to worst, but these are the 10 films that around Halloween time, I will often come back to. Halloween, 28 Days Later, Night of the Living Dead, The Thing, the John Carpenter version, of course, Alien, Bride of Frankenstein, the original, The Shining, the Kubrick version, Cabin in the Woods, the original Evil Dead, and Shaun of the Dead. So in closing, I hope you all have a great Halloween. Hope you get some good scares this season. My website, michaeljjohnsonmusic.com. I'm posting the show notes in my blog, so you'll see a blog entry for each episode. And you can even leave a comment there if you'd like. You can find me at Twitter, at Mike J. Johnson, soundcloud.com/Michael J. Johnson. Thanks for listening.